Listen on Demand, brought to you by 680 News.
Guys, first, thank you very much for this interview as we're speaking here in Toronto at the Metropolitan Hotel. How's it been for you guys so far? Like, what time did you guys get down here in Toronto?
We got here last night around 8, I think, yeah.
Well, this is the first time for you guys being here, right?
No, we've been here. We've played a couple of shows here before, and yeah, it's always been a great response, and yeah, we love Canada.
Yeah. Well, you know, one of the things, of course, everybody seems to, and I don't know if they focus on, is the fact that we get to see you guys here, but there always seems to be other new people either coming or going with you guys. I want to get it in your words, though. What it is the fact that for you two, it works, but somehow there's always a change up in a lineup in the group, because now it's really considered, when we talk about you guys, it's really just a duo.
Yeah, it is. Now it is. Spencer and I kind of have always been on the same page, you know, with a lot of different things, but especially musically. And so this time, on this record, we really wanted to get that comfortability across that we have. So that was fun, to just explore that whole boundary with just the two of us.
Feel the same way and why it works with you guys?
Yeah, I think, you know, part of it has to be attributed to us just being so young when we got started. And I think that it was weird because we had eyes kind of watching us with what was going on. And I think that the changes that have happened actually were really organic and would have happened either way. It was just weird because we had that initial success. And I think now it kind of actually feels like a fresh start on this record.
Well, let's go back a little bit so to make sure my audience knows exactly what we're talking about. And we're talking, what, Vegas, correct?
Yeah.
And where this all began. So talk about how you guys hooked up.
Yeah. Well, I was going to a different high school at the time, and I met our first bass player, actually, Brent, who was an old friend. Met him. He had transferred to my school, met him in guitar class, started talking about music, just invited him over. Hey, let's be friends. He was looking for a guitar player for his band, which was with Spencer and Ryan. And so I met them through him. And just kind of showed up to play guitar for a couple shows that were coming up or whatever, not thinking it would go anywhere. Then we just started rehearsing a lot in the practice space, and then they asked me to be the singer, and that was pretty much it.
Now, true or untrue, though, because you always hear about these things, you guys were a cover band at one point?
Oh, no, I think initially we said that we didn't have enough songs to play a full set or play a live show, so we'd cover songs to make up for what. But we always, at that time, especially by the time we'd met Brendan, we knew that we wanted to be, you know, a real band, write all our own stuff. But we only had like 6 songs or something. So, I mean, literally the first record that we put out was some of the first songs we'd ever written as the four of us. So it was kind of interesting to have any success off that. We never thought we would. But, you know, we still like to cover songs. Honestly, it's a way to kind of show the inspirations that make their way onto the records and our songs, and you know, it's fun to play songs you don't play every night.
Now, you know, again, you never know if anything's true or not. Now, who was it that actually gave you guys the big push? Was it Pete that did it?
Yeah, we had put, you know, a couple, we only had about 2 or 3 songs at the time, and we put them on a couple different websites. I think it was MySpace and Pure Volume or something like that. And we had sent the links to a couple different people just on forums, and somehow we had gotten a hold of a contact for Pete Wentz, and we wanted to just shot in the dark. We're like, why not? We'll give it a shot. If it doesn't happen, whatever, but we'll just try. So sent him a link, and he ended up contacting us through email saying, hey, I'm going to be through Vegas in a week. Can you guys get some songs together and play them for me so I can come watch you? And we, you know, kind of just in shock, like, really? Is okay. We don't have that many songs, but yeah, we'd love to. So he came down, watched us play the songs acoustically, might I add, because we didn't have all the gear that we needed to play all the songs full. So that was interesting, really nervous about that. But then afterwards, yeah, we drove him back to his hotel, and he had said, hey, I'm really interested in you guys, and let's try to make this work. So that was that.
So how did the record deal finally come in then?
Well, it started from that day and him kind of expressing his interest in wanting to sign us. And we were going to be, I think, the second band. Gym Class Heroes was the first band that he had worked with. But we were at a much, you know, more coming from nothing stage than they were. They had a whole album together. And so, yeah, we just spent the next, like, 4 or 5 months writing 15 songs or 14 songs or something, and drove to Maryland across the whole country to record with this guy, Matt Squire, who had done some records we liked. And, you know, from that point, it just kind of grew from there.
Yeah, growing to, what was it, double platinum? Something like that?
Definitely platinum, but I don't know about double. Sure did. Yeah, it was pretty close.
Platinum is platinum, man. Platinum. You can say triple or whatever you want. Oh, platinum is platinum. That must have blew your minds knowing that, you know, first album, you're like, say what? Say it again, please?
Totally. There were actually a couple arguments we had had with our management just about radio and stuff. We're like, well, we're not ready with this record. This is our first record. We're only 18. Can we refrain from going to radio? They're like, well, they're already playing the songs. They have that right. So we just like, well, we'll just go with it then.
And that's the other thing, because you said you're 18. So you guys were still in high school while this stuff was going on.
Yeah, we actually wrote the first record at the last half of our senior year for me and Brendan. Yeah, we left to go record the record, I think like 3 days after my last day of school. Yeah. So it's pretty insane. I mean, normally we would be going to jobs, and a couple of us still did have jobs, and trying to fit that in with then band practice and writing. And we kind of just given up on school at that point because, I mean, a few months prior, we would have been we were figuring out what we were going to do for college, and you know, that was our plan. But I have to say, we really let things go on the last few months.
Please tell me, though, any gals that turned you guys down in high school desperately tried to get a hold of you guys once the album came out.
Well, there were a couple times where I had a couple run-ins with girls that I knew in high school, mm-hmm. and that was kind of funny. It was just like it wasn't anything where I was like spiting them, but it was more of just like a funny interaction. It was like, hey, remember when I asked you to say these and I got turned down? Yeah, that was funny. Whatever.
but your second album, though, sales-wise didn't do as well, but critically, critics loved it. Why the change in the music style?
Well, again, I think that's something that came from us being as young as we were, and I think that we were drastically changing our musical interests even month to month, and as we started to write for the next record, I mean, we had some pretty different influences and stuff that we were excited about, and then again, to this record, it's even changed in that 2 years.
And go into that. In what sense, then, when you make that approach, when you've gotten over the sophomore, you know, you got your first album that's exploding, what's the approach on this one? Because is it just about, okay, what we want to write musically, or now we're thinking, oh, God, do we have to worry about sales? Do we have to worry about charting? Do we have to worry about this? Do we have to worry about that?
Well, yeah, I think that mentality is always, like, we're aware of it. You know, we grew up watching, like, VH1 Behind the Music, and you have this whole, everybody has this idea of what the, you know, how things are. And, you know, you obviously have the label and everything, you know, talking to you, and they're a part of the record. But I think we feel like we got lucky because what we've always done is sort of done whatever we want and changed whenever we wanted. And I think now fans kind of expect that from us. So it's nice to be in that position to not feel like, okay, I don't know if this is, you know, a bridge too far for our fans. It's just kind of like what we hope is expected. And that way it just kind of feels natural.
So what can fans expect, the ones who haven't heard it yet? What can they expect musically?
Yeah, like Spencer was saying, we, you know, there are still the influences that we've had from the first record, Queen and the Beatles, and we, you know, we still love our first two records, very proud of them. And we wanted to, you know, there were a couple songs that were older ideas from before we even wrote the second record, so some of those would have a similar vibe, we knew it. But ultimately, we've always wanted to just do something new, something we haven't done before. We don't like setting up limitations for ourselves in the studio. If there's a song that sounds vintage and we want to put something modern on it, we'll try it out, you know, and if it works, it works. And that was kind of the mentality of this record. It was whatever works for the song, whatever makes us most excited about the way it sounds.
How are you guys, I'm sitting here and I'm speaking to two young guys who I swear have got old souls, you know.
old clothes.
Yeah. But what do you think is going to help you guys maintain and survive this business? Because as we know, there's always another new band, you know, nipping at your heels. There's a kid who's in his bedroom who's listening to your albums, and there he's going, yeah, I can write this kind of music. And the next thing you know, man, you may be at an award show, and that kid is competing with you in Best New Group or Album of the Year.
Yeah. It you know what? It does keep you on your toes, but I think the thing that you can't lose is that initial, you know, when we were writing the first record and before we'd ever talked to Pete or anything like that, you have this, like, drive that is just all the only thing you want to do in your life is to figure out a way to do this for your living. And I think some bands, when they have success, they get, you know, really comfortable in it, and it feels like, okay, well, this is my life, this is my career, and this is always going to be here. And that's when you sort of start thinking about, well, I need to write the single that sounded like the last single. And I think just never feeling that way is what we have to just maintain, just always having that, you know, I don't know, attitude that there is going to be somebody coming up and staying in tune with what is going on musically and still finding new acts that you're inspired by. And, you know, just that's all you can really do. And then, you know, just hope that your core fan base sort of, you know, sticks with you and sees that that's, you know, the passion that they got into you from the beginning, you know?
It works. Website, Twitter, where do we go?
Yeah, panicdisco.com or twitter.com/BrennanUriSays or the Spencer Smith. Check us out.
Sounds good, my friend. Gentlemen, thank you so much for this interview.
Rudy, thank you.
Thank you.
This was fun.